celebrating the birth of our Savior and Jesus. And this morning I want to talk to you not a lot about Christmas. I want to segue a little bit into, we're 2 weeks away from Christmas, but we're 3 weeks away from the new year already. 2017 is almost turning the page. It's crazy how time is going by fast. Is it going faster and faster? Yes. Yes. Even my 11-year-old said, this year seemed like it went by faster. I'm like, yeah, just wait till you get older. It goes by fast. And so this morning I want you to reflect and think back in January 2017, almost a year ago, 11 months ago, we were talking about what God was going to do this year. We talked about building, right? This was supposed to be the year of building. We gave you guys blocks and we had all these plans and you guys had goals and purposes. We always have New Year's resolutions. You have dreams and promises that you're holding on to that you want to see God perform for you. And before we even get into 2018, and hopefully your wheels are already starting to spin about 2018, about God, what is this next year going to hold, that you're expecting some good things. But I want us to take a moment this Sunday to look back in 2017, and what was it that you were expecting God to do this year? Were there some promises that you began to hope for? Were there some goals that you were setting for yourself? Maybe it was those to lose 20 pounds or, you know, whatever those kind of, I don't mean bad, but superficial things, those things that don't mean a whole lot, but they're good goals. Or what are some of those spiritual goals, those spiritual things that you were hoping for, contending for? Are you still contending just as much now in December as you were in January? And so that's what I want to talk to you about this morning is where are you at in those desires? Are they being fulfilled? You know, Scripture says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And that's my desire, is that we don't allow our hopes to get well, it's been 11 months and it hasn't happened, so who cares? I'm just going to give up on that dream and that hope. I don't want us to do that. I want us to keep our hope alive and afresh. But I also want to see us push through, that the end of the year is not here. And there's still time for you to be praying and to see God perform a miracle and to see breakthrough in those things that you want. And that's what I want to talk to you this morning about is breakthrough. If I had to title this morning's message, it's breakthrough. What is it that you are contending for God to break through? What is it that you are trying to do? And that's really where I want to go this morning, is that God is the God of breakthrough, but there's some things that we are responsible for God to bring that breakthrough. And that's why I want to tell you 2 points. I'll make it nice and simple. 2 points for you this morning that our responsibility in God bringing the breakthrough for the things that we're desiring. And I was thinking about just Christmas, you know, that there was 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. God was speaking in the Old Testament to throughout the kings. You know, you're reading all these different things, the prophets. You can read Malachi, the very end, the very last prophetic book in the Old Testament. And it's talking about how one day he's going to bring the spirit of Elijah, and then he's going to return the hearts of the fathers to the children to the fathers. And then 400 years of nothing being said by God to the people at large. I believe that God was still speaking individually. If you were here last week, we talked about how God was speaking to Simeon, that Simeon heard from God and said, I'm not going to see death until I see the Messiah. So that was personal right there, that God was, by the Holy Spirit, he was instructed to go to the temple when Jesus showed up. And so God was still speaking, but it was on a corporate level. There was no prophetic words for the people of Israel. And this wasn't happening. And finally, as we read in the Gospels, that John the Baptist comes with that spirit of Elijah, and he's beginning to prophesy, and it's on this nationwide. The whole nation is now recognizing John the Baptist. Man, this is a prophet out in the wilderness. He's speaking the oracles of God. And so people are seeing, okay, God's on the move again. God's doing something. And Jesus, as we know, it breaks that. There's a breakthrough when Jesus is born, right? We know that when you give birth, you break water, right? And he was born, and the day he was born, there was breakthrough. This was what God had intended since he laid the foundations of the earth, that Jesus was slain at the foundations of the earth. So Jesus, God had a plan all along. He knew what he was doing, and this was heaven coming down to earth. This was a huge breakthrough. This was something that had never happened before. And so there is this idea of breakthrough. What is breakthrough? It is something it can be something small or big, but it's something where it's something kind of building up. There's momentum, and it's almost like a dam is holding something, and finally it breaks through. And that's what I want to talk to you this morning about, is what is it in your life that you feel like God has given you a word, there's a promise or something that's a desire of your heart, and you feel like there's something blocking it from happening, and you're saying, God, I want breakthrough. Before the end of this year, I want to see this take place. And what is that in your life? Is there something in your marriage, something with your kids, something within your family, in relationships at large, a financial breakthrough, health, you name it. What is it that needs breakthrough in your life? And are you still contending? And what is it that your role is? And so I want to look this morning not at a Christmas passage, but I want you to turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 14. And the easy way to segue this in is Jesus was called the Son of David. And so we're going to be looking at David's life a little bit. And before I read anything from there, I want to pray that God would anoint what I'm about to say and that it would be falling on not deaf ears, but all of us would have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to each one of us. So would you join with me as we pray for the Holy Spirit to take out that wax or whatever is blocking those things from our ears to hear what He would want to tell us this morning. So God, we thank You for this morning. God, we thank You that as we've just been celebrating and singing that You are Emmanuel, that You are Christ the Lord. You're not only with us, You're not only for us, but You are the King of our lives. And we submit to You again this morning. God, we want to submit ourselves to Your Word. Would You teach us? Would You show us and reveal something new to us? May there be fresh manna for us today, God. Would we live today by every word that proceeds from Your mouth, God? And so we just confess, each one of us right now, that we're hungering and thirsting for You to speak, God. And so, Holy Spirit, would You anoint me, Lord God, to be able to speak Your truth in a way that's relevant, in a way that Your Holy Spirit can multiply what I'm saying to feed Your sheep this morning, God. And so we just thank You for Your word, that it's truth, that it's living and it's active. And would You make that true in our own individual lives this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so 1 Chronicles chapter 14, really quick, we're going to look at verses 8 through 17. So 1 Chronicles 14, verse 8 is where we're going to start. But before we get there, this is David. He's now just been proclaimed as the king. We're about to read. So just getting you the context again, David, the little shepherd boy, right, killed Goliath. He was kind of on the scene for a while Saul was the king, and he was running from Saul, hiding from him. Saul was trying to kill him a couple times. We kind of know the story of David. And now where we're at in this setting is Saul and Jonathan have both died. David has been proclaimed the king, and this is the beginning of really his rule and reign as king. And so this is, we're going to be reading some of the first battles he goes into as king. So let's go ahead and dive in verse 8. Now when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went out against them. Then the Philistines went and made a raid on the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will You deliver them into my hand?" The Lord said to him, "Go up, for I will deliver them into your hand." So they went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. Then David said, "God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water." Therefore they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And when they left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. We'll stop there. We're going to read the whole passage, but let's stop there for now. So the first thing in seeing breakthrough in your life is really comes from that verse 10. And David inquired of God. What's another word of inquired of God? What did David do? Prayed. So in order for us to get breakthrough, we've got to pray. Number one, pray. That's our responsibility. God is, you just read in here, God is the God of breakthrough. You'll see, we'll talk about this in a little bit, but His name, that's a name given to God. He's a God of breakthrough, and He wants to bring breakthrough. He wants to bring blessings into our life, but there are things we're responsible for, and the first thing that Scripture makes clear, and you see in David's life, is prayer. Now, again, I'm just giving you the context of David. David, by the time he was crowned the king, there was already a song that was going on when Saul was king, right? What was it? That David's killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. David was a known warrior. He killed Goliath, was the first Philistine he ever killed, was Goliath. And in fact, if you were reading there, that name, Valley of Rephaim, that word Rephaim in Hebrew means giants. The Valley of Giants. So this is the context, bring it together. That David is going to fight some giants again. David knows how to fight a giant. He's killed him before. He's killed tens of thousands of Philistines. He knows how to be a military. He's a bad dude. You know, people knew who he was. He had a name for himself as this mighty warrior. And he had 300 mighty men with him right before he was king. And so he knew how to fight. He was not only just strong by himself, killed Goliath all with his bare hands by himself, but he knew how to get an army together. He knew how to attack. He knew how to outflank. He knew all these procedures. He knew how to defeat the enemy. But the first thing he did was not come up with a battle plan. The first thing he did was he inquired of the Lord. I'm going to go ask God. God, what do You want me to do? Do You want me to fight? My desire is to go kill these guys. I want to take their heads off. I want to go after them. But God, what do You want? Not my will, Your will. And so that's the first thing. If we want to see breakthrough, the first thing we got to do is lay down our desires, our will, and say, God, not my will, Your will be done. What do You want, God? What do you want? I want your desires to be my desires. I don't want just to live out my desires. And so it is important that as we see, we want God to bring breakthrough in our lives. There's things that we want. There's things we're contending for, that we're interceding for. But the first thing is just that prayer, that humble prayer, saying, God, I'm seeking after you. What do you want? How do you want this done? I think you want to kill these Philistines, but how do you want it done? And so he's inquiring of the Lord. And this is important. As you see, as he's starting off his rule, you got to know there's new soldiers. Before it was his 300 mighty men. But now that he's the crowned king, he has all those men that used to fight for Saul. Some of those same soldiers that were trying to kill David because they were just being obedient to the king are now under his rulership. They don't know how he does things. So he's got a mix of this military force that he has. He's got new people that are looking to him as the king for the first time. And he's saying, I seek the Lord. I do things different than Saul. Look how I do it. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to inquire of the Lord. What does he want? What does he want us to do? And so you see that. He goes against the Philistines, and it says that he named that place Baal Perazim. This name, it's God of breakthrough. This Perazim means breakthrough. It means, I'll go back, Baal. We all know Baal. We've heard that name Baal, right? The God of the Philistines, Baal. It was this wicked thing. But if you go back and look in the Hebrew or the context of that word, it means master or ruler or lord or a god. It means this idea that there's someone that's in charge of something, and Perazim means breakthrough. So God is the God. He's the ruler or the master of breakthrough. And so David is proclaiming that this place where we defeated the Philistines, he names it, renames it, and says, this is the place where God broke through. And the idea is, it says, let's read it again. It says in verse 11, it says, so they went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. Then David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, they called that name, the name of that place, Baal Perazim. So the breakthrough of water by my hand is like a breakthrough of water. So the idea is, like what I said earlier, is like a dam. The idea of all the dam is holding up all this water, and there's all of a sudden something that just bursts forth, and this huge gush of water force just comes out. And he's saying that's what a breakthrough is. It's like we went up against the enemy, and God came, and we didn't have to do much. We just showed up, and God came, and blah. His majesty, his power, his glory, the hills melt like wax, presence of the Lord, all these different things, right? That God did it. It wasn't just by my great sheer power and by my wisdom that we defeated the enemy. No, it was God who did this. He's giving God the glory. He's renaming this place, making sure that he's giving God the glory. But I love that he says, by my hand. There is this idea of partnering together. It's God is the God of breakthrough. There's no way I would defeat this enemy if God didn't do it. At the same time, I played a part. God told me to go. God told me to pick up a sword and go to that valley of giants and go do something about it. And so he did that. And so you see this partnership already that David is saying, I'm willing to partner with you, God. But God, it's to you be all the glory. It's not me. Not me as a good king. It was God who did this. And so it's important that we understand this name of God, this Baal Perazim, that David is declaring this place as a place where God breaks through. And that's what I believe this morning that God wants for all of us, corporately, to have a greater understanding of breakthrough. But I believe that today is also the opportunity for some of us to have a day of breakthrough, where you can call today, call this place, a place of breakthrough, where there's something going on in your life that you're saying, God, I need help. God, I need something to change in the situation. God, I feel like I'm up against a wall, that things aren't happening. And really, as you go through this idea of Baal Perazim, a breakthrough of water, I was thinking of another verse where I shared this before with you guys, that in, let me get the reference here. In my notes. Oh, come on. As you can tell, I'm not following my notes because I'm jumping all over the place right now. I'll give you the reference later. There it is. Isaiah 59:19. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises a standard against him. And I've shared with you before that I've always heard that, most people always hear, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the enemy raises, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord raises a standard against him. But it can be translated, in fact, people that know the Hebrew language say it actually can be translated the other way around. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises a standard. And it kind of fits the same perspective that David is giving us. It was like water just broke through and defeated the enemy. When the enemy came after me, was coming after me, the Lord raised the standard, and man, it was like a flood. The Lord just broke through and completely swept the enemy away. So you see, this isn't out of context where you might think, well, no, the verse that my King James Bible has a comma there, so it's when the enemy comes in like a flood. No. Take a step back. Read it in context of all of Scripture. When the enemy comes in like a flood. I mean, think about it. I immediately think of the Israelites in the Red Sea. When the Israelites left Egypt, and they're leaving, and they heard that the Egyptians are coming after them, and they start walking, running faster, and they come up to the Red Sea, and they're trapped. They have nowhere, it's way too wide. They can't get around. They know that the Egyptians are right behind them, and there's this wall of water in front of them. How are we going to escape from this? They're trapped. They don't know what to do. And so they pray. And Moses, hearing from the Lord, he raises a standard. He raises his staff. And what happens? The waters part. This big, huge dam, the waters parts. And they walk across dry land. God provides a way. Miraculously, he brings breakthrough through the water. He breaks the water, and they can walk across on dry land. And as they get all the way to the other side, what do the Egyptians do? Oh, man, we're going after them. And they come after them as they begin to walk through. And the Israelites are safe on the other side. And the Egyptians come, and halfway through, what does Moses do? He raises the standard, and like a flood, the enemy's coming in after them. And like a flood, boom, the enemy's dealt with, completely devastated. This is who God is. He's the God of breakthrough. He's the God of breakthrough. We've got to have this understanding that God is the God of miracles. That I think sometimes we think, oh man, it's the end of 2017. There's only 3 weeks left. Man, those promises, those things I was contending for, they're not going to happen. Don't listen to that lie. Don't listen to the lie of the enemy. Don't let your flesh grow weary. Say, no, I'm going to stand on God's word. God said he's the God of breakthrough. I'm not going to let my hope be deferred. I'm going to let my desires be fulfilled and say, God, this is a tree of life. Not just for me, that I'm going to produce good fruit for other people. Because if your desires are just for yourself, maybe those desires aren't right. God is maybe refining some of those things in you. Maybe some of those desires, those goals you wrote down in 2017, maybe God's trying to refine that. Saying, I want to give you the desires of my heart. Let me show you what you really should be praying for, what you should be longing for. And so it's important that we understand these things. That David was a man of prayer, as I keep going back to. That he was establishing his kingdom. I'm the king. I can do whatever I want, how I want, but this is how I do it. I pray. I seek the Lord. That David often went off on his own. It says that he would seek the Lord. You get all these different stories of Ziklag, where even his own 300 men, his best friends, his own family members, wanted to kill him. And he removed himself and went and sought the Lord and strengthened himself in the Lord all by himself. He knew how to spend time with God. So my point here is, it's not just say a flippant prayer. David didn't just say a flippant prayer. Oh, let me check off that duty. Okay, let me pray and then I'll go out and do what I want to do. No. He said, I'm going to go seek and inquire of the Lord because he was expecting an answer. God's going to tell me what to do. And I'm not going to do this on my own. I'm going to hear from God. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to wait on the Lord. And then when he tells me what to do, then I'm going to go do it. And so you see this, that David models. You see Jesus does the same thing, right? You read it constantly, that Jesus went on his own and prayed. Luke 5:16 was Jesus. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. This is where the power comes from. This is where our power comes from. This is where the breakthrough begins and becomes possible. Breakthrough becomes possible when we actually set aside time, when we actually seek the Lord, get in our prayer closets, and pray. When we're praying, that's when the breakthrough. You can desire something all you want. You can say those flippant prayers. But breakthrough happens when you are inquiring of the Lord, when you're spending time with him, seeking his face. This is where it begins. Breakthrough begins in prayer. You know, I think of this idea of breakthrough, and I was talking about the Red Sea. When you're up against a wall, when you can't move forward, when you seem stuck, God is the God of breakthrough to miraculously part the Red Sea in your life, to provide direction and provision. When you don't know what to do, when you need provision, when you need direction, when you don't know what to do, God is the God of breakthrough to bring that into your life. There's things that I just share with you personally. There's things that I'm praying for 2018 for us as a church that I sense God wants to do some big things, but I need direction. I need God to provide certain things. And so it's time that I pray and seek the Lord that there's breakthrough because I sense God's doing something, but I need a breakthrough. I need to know exactly what you want to do. I feel like in a sense, this is me being personal with you. I feel like God has given me his word, which is a lamp into our feet, a light into our path. I feel like there's things that God has revealed where there's a light into my path. I can kind of see where we're headed, but I need some more lamp to my feet. I need some more steps, God. I need direction. I need to know how this plays out. I know this is where you want to get, but how do I get there? I need breakthrough, God. God's the God of breakthrough. He's saying, all right, I'll part the Red Seas. I'll show you exactly where to walk through the Red Sea. Not go around, not do this. This is where the breakthrough is. And so God's the God of breakthrough. At the same time, as I said, that the waters came back and collapsed on the enemy. When the enemy is in hot tail in pursuit of you, when there's things where you feel enslaved, where you feel like the enemy's bound you up, when you feel like there's something you can't get free, that you're stuck, God is the God of breakthrough to deliver you. To say, I will take care of the enemy. You don't have to fear the enemy any longer. That, as the Israelites knew, they were under the blood. They had the blood of the Lamb over the doorposts of their houses, just like we have the blood of the Lamb over the doorposts of our lives. And they walked through the Red Sea. They were baptized. They walked through the waters. And on the other side, they entered the Promised Land. That you and I, we're under the blood. And we get baptized. We're dying to the old and being resurrected as a new creation in Christ. That's the Israelites. They left. They were still had this slave mentality. The whole idea of God having them go through the Red Sea was to wash them, to cleanse them, come out of their sight as a free people. Pharaoh and his army, they're dead. You're no longer slaves to them. You're no longer slaves to them. You're no longer slaves to sin. You're slaves to righteousness, to Christ. And so you see this new identity is given to the Israelites. It's the same thing to us. That when you feel enslaved, when you feel like, oh, I can't get free from this sin that easily entangles me, or whatever it is, that you're saying, no, I'm under the blood of the Lamb. According to God's word, I'm a new creation in Christ. I can have right desires put inside of me. God created me a clean heart, God, filled with clean thoughts and right desires. God can do that. He's the God of breakthrough. He wants to do that in our lives. And I love that. Let's read the next couple of verses. So we read to 12. 13 says, then the Philistines once again made a raid on the valley. Therefore, David inquired again of God. And God said to him, you shall not go up after them. Let's stop there. So the Philistines came up again. There was this huge defeat. The Philistines were defeated. And it was an utter breakthrough, right? It was like Pharaoh and the army being completely consumed. And yet, right after that, the enemy comes again against him. And what does David do again? Again, he prays. He inquires the Lord. This is a pattern. It isn't just a one-time thing. He's saying, every time the enemy comes against me, my response is to pray. Every single time, that's what David is saying. No matter what the enemy does, I'm going to pray. Again, he could have looked at not just all of his success and past. He could have looked at, they came to the same exact valley. The same people to the same valley coming to do the same thing. He's like, oh, I know how to do this. God told me last time I had to do this. Let's just go do it again. I mean, there was this incredible, we had this incredible victory. Why would we not do it the same way? Let's just do it the same way again. But see, David, he knew, I'm not going to live off of yesterday's manna. I'm going to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I'm not going to live off of what I read yesterday from God's word. God, what are you saying to me today? I want to know what's for today, a fresh rhema word. There's the logos, the written word, and the rhema word. And the rhema word comes out of the logos. But we've got to spend time with him praying to know what that rhema word is. And so David's saying, that's every time the enemy comes against me, I'm going to spend time in prayer. It's this pattern that he's created. You see this all the way back when he was a young boy, as a shepherd boy. He spent time daily in the presence of God, writing the psalms that we still sing and read today. Some of those he wrote as a young boy because he had intimacy with God. He had this thing that it wasn't just, again, I keep saying it's prayer, but it's not just flippant prayers. There's something about, all right, I'll even give you a heads up. I'm going to trick you. God's word says that the fervent, effectual prayers avail much, right? I tricked you. The fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man avail much. And that's the next point. See, it's not enough just to pray. You've got to obey. If you aren't going to obey, if all you're going to do is just pray, pray, God deliver me, God do all this, and he's saying, okay, now go do this, and you don't do it, the breakthrough is not going to happen. You can pray all you want, but if you aren't going to obey, it's the fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man that avail much. Breakthrough, God is a God of breakthrough. It's his name. That's what he wants to do. He wants to bring breakthrough in your life. But he's looking for those who will pray and obey. Seek my face. I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. Now go do it. And often what he says to do is not easy. Sometimes it might sound a little crazy. Let's read the next few verses. So back in 13, therefore David prayed again of God, and God said to him, you shall not go up after them. Circle around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear a sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle. For God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. So David did as God commanded him, and they drove back the army of the Philistines from Gibeon as far as Gezer. Then the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. All right, there's a lot packed in there. But as I'm saying obey, I got to highlight verse 16. So David did as God commanded. He prayed and he obeyed. He did as God commanded. Now, did you get there? What does that mean? Go, don't go up against them the way you did last time. This time, circle around and go to the mulberry trees and wait until you hear the sound of marching on the tops of the trees. Does anyone understand what the heck that means? Has anyone ever heard that before? See, there's some people, I'll be honest with you, there's some people that would interpret that as, well, when the leaves would rustle together and the wind would blow, it might sound like marching. And so he was just waiting for, you know, the sign for God to bring a wind. And when that happens, then they're supposed to go. All right, I'll give you, that's in the realm of possibility. I'll give that to you. I don't think so. I've never heard marching in trees before. That doesn't sound natural to me. So if it's not natural, it must be supernatural. But before I go into that whole context and explain what that is, go with me for a second. As I explain, David just became the king. So there's soldiers in his army who know this pattern. They know David inquired. Every time they go out to battle, David prays. And David's going to tell us what we're supposed to do. We go what David says, and we win. Then you have these new soldiers that were used to following Saul. They're now part of David's army, and they see this. They see the very first time, David's going to go pray. Wait, they're right there. They're coming attacking us, and we're just going to wait here until David goes in the tent, and they're getting antsy. David, hurry it up. Come on. I can see the dust rising. They're going to kill us. We've got to have a plan. And they're kind of getting anxious, and they see David prays. He comes out. He says, all right, God says, let's go after him. All right, finally. And they go, and the huge, utter, you know, devastation. They kill the enemy. Ah, perfect. And then the second time happens. All right, David's going to pray. All right, let's trust David again. And David comes out. All right, guys, you know what worked last time? How we just came and met him face on and God just completely annihilated them? We're not going to do that this time. Wait, what? This time we're going to go circle around. We're going to wait by these mulberry trees. Remember those trees that were off to the side? We're going to wait by there, and we're going to wait until we hear marching in the treetops. And then we're going to attack. Could you imagine those new soldiers, the rookies, are like, wait, what? What kind of plan is that? Wait, we're going... Wait, we're with David. We got the mighty men. Like, we know how to kill. We just had this huge, you know, battle that we won in the same valley. We know what we're doing. What are we? This doesn't make sense. This sounds a little strange, right? This sounds a little crazy. In the natural, doesn't this sound weird? You're going to go. You're this big, mighty army, all these tough dudes, and they're just waiting for some sound to happen. They don't understand it. They don't even know what. I've never heard marching in trees before. What does it sound like? I don't even know. Often when God tells you to obey him, it doesn't make sense. It's a little bit crazy. Like someone who heard God tell him to build a boat so big that a zoo could fit inside. God, that sounds a little crazy. But he obeyed. Or much like the man who Jesus told him to come out of the boat and put his foot on top of water and walk to him. That sounds a little crazy. What about if God tells you to go walk up to that stranger and tell them, hey, Jesus loves you? Oh, I don't know that person. I mean, we're in the busy Walmart, Starbucks, and there's people all around. They're going to think I'm weird. What about if God tells you to give the first fruits of your paycheck to the church, to give a tithe and an offering? But God, how am I going to, if I do that, I can't buy presents. If I can't do that, I can't, doesn't make sense. Reason, if I add up the math, there's not going to be enough money to pay the bills. It sounds crazy. But see, he's the God of breakthrough when we pray and obey. The breakthrough is on the other side of obedience. God's word makes it clear there's blessing in obedience. Some of us in our lives, we feel like nothing's going right. I feel like the wall is up against me. I feel like I believe God's good, as you heard Greg say this morning. I feel like God's good, and I'll say it with my mouth, but in my own life, I don't feel it. I don't see it. it must be God's fault. God's not a God of breakthrough. Or maybe there's an area of your life where there isn't obedience. Maybe you've been praying, but there's something that you know the Holy Spirit keeps putting his finger on over and over again, and you keep trying to dodge that subject. And again this morning, the Holy Spirit's putting his finger. There's something that needs to be in obedience to him. As we sang those songs this morning, Christ the Lord. That even as a baby, he was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But is he the King of your heart, of your own desires? Are you willing to submit and lay all those things at his feet? Again, what I said several times, not my will, your will be done. But when we obey, that's when the breakthrough happens. So you see this marching in the trees. I told you it's in the realm of possibility that it was just the wind rustling through the leaves. That's possible. I don't think I hold some weird Pentecostal interpretation of this. Because even if you read rabbis, Jewish rabbis, they believe that it was supernatural. They believe it was the sound of angels. The God of angel armies. They were waiting for the Lord to precede them. They weren't going to fight in their own strength. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It was the God of angel armies. I'm not doing anything unless, Moses said it, I'm not going anywhere unless your spirit goes with me, Lord. I'm not going to do anything unless you give me instruction. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. There's something about waiting on the Lord. There's something about inquiring of the Lord, praying, hearing from him, hearing his voice and saying, okay, God, that sounds crazy. I don't understand, but I'll wait for you to have your will. I'll wait for your will to be done before my will gets done. I'll stand here and I'll wait. I'll look like a fool, but you got to see there were things that David did. He didn't just say, all right, God's going to take care of it. He's the God of breakthrough, so we're going to sit back here, back at home, and we'll let God take care of the battle out over there. No, he went to the battle lines. He went and he prepared himself. It says right there, it says in 15, when you hear the sound that you shall go up to battle, for God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. Where's the word I'm looking for? Anyways, I'll find in a second. But it's that he was prepared. He went to the mulberry trees. He was ready to attack quickly. It wasn't they weren't just sitting back and laying down and taking a nap underneath the mulberry trees in the nice shade. No, they were ready to attack at any moment. They were prepared. They had their swords in their hand, their feet, they were kind of like at the sprinter's blocks, right? They were ready to go. God, we're waiting for you. But it wasn't this idea of just sitting back and doing nothing. They were prepared. They were expecting for God to do something supernatural. That's something that has to be in our heart. That no matter where you're at, what are those desires, those things that you're contending for, those things that you need God to bring breakthrough, are you prepared for God to do it? I think of the virgins, right, that had the oil, the lamps. They weren't prepared. Some of those virgins weren't prepared. They asked the other virgins, can we have some of your oil? No, I'm prepared. I can't give you mine. Go back and go buy some and then come back. Because they weren't prepared, they missed it. They missed the supernatural. They missed the Lord's breakthrough. They missed God coming. So there's something about praying and obeying, but there's something about just not just doing the obedience. That obedience requires preparation. Being ready, expectation is in there. Expecting God to be the God of miracles, the God of breakthrough. The greater the obedience, the greater the breakthrough. You know, I can't help but think of even last week's message. Do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? How many times has God prepared to send his angel armies to go walk on the mulberry trees? And we're completely unaware. We're not inquiring of the Lord to hear what he wants to do. That God's prepared a way. That God is the God of breakthrough. But we don't have ears to hear. We don't have eyes to see. We don't have a head to understand, a heart that's desiring what he wants. And that's why I just feel like the Lord is really trying to put his finger on this morning. Before we end 2017 and step into 2018, what is it that's in your heart? What are you wanting? Is it in line with his desires? Is it something that, yes, it is good, it is godly? All right. Did you say a flippant prayer at the beginning of the year? Or maybe you were contending in the beginning in January, Are you still contending? Are you still interceding and praying and say, God, I'm not letting go. I'm expecting you to come through. Don't let these last 3 weeks just to go by. I want you, again, I said, I feel like there's some of you in this room, God's just stirring something in general in you and we're learning something about breakthrough, but there's some of you in this room that this is resonating with you. There's something in your life that you know God is speaking specifically to you this morning. And what is the Lord requiring of you? You know, we're on the, I think about Christmas, we're on the side of history of so much breakthrough. Of course, Jesus breaking the heavens, he rent the heavens, he came down. Lord, rent the heavens and come down. He did that. He wants to do it again in your life. He wants to rend the heavens, to rip open up the heavens, to pray what Jesus prayed, right? Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. There's something that God wants to do in your personal life that he's saying, would you contend for it? Would you pray? And as he begins to reveal to you some things, would you obey? I know if you Google it, you do all these things, there could be 12 different steps to get breakthrough. How to bring breakthrough in your life. They give me the 12-step plan. There might be. Okay, great. But I feel like the Lord is saying this morning, it's that simple. Pray and obey. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be these big, you don't have to be some huge spiritual giant and walk with the Lord for 30 years to get breakthrough in your life. No matter where you're at today, God is the God of breakthrough. That's who he is. His desire is to open up the heavens, to break them open, and to pour out blessing in your life, to pour out provision, direction, whatever we said, that breakthrough, the things that are holding up this, the financial success, the wealth, whatever, the health, all those different things. And this isn't a prosperity gospel. Don't get tripped up on that. Don't get weird on me. But there are things that God is a good God. If we celebrate Christmas as a earthly father, I want to give good gifts to my kids. It's in my heart to give them good gifts. How much more a heavenly father wants to give us the Holy Spirit? He wants to give us good gifts. That's who he is. We sing that song. It's one of the most popular worship songs right now. What good, good father. That's who he is. So don't get tripped up that, well, God's holding things back from me because he's trying to teach me perseverance. I get that. Those are all true. I get that. God wants to create character in us, that perseverance, there's difficulties that he allows in our lives that produces character, right? Perseverance, character, hope. Those are all true. I'm not negating any of that. But what is God saying this morning? I feel like God is putting his finger this morning. He's saying, I'm a good dad, and I want to give you some good things. Not just one little gift. I want to rend the heavens. I want to pour so much blessing you can't even contain it. I want to press them down, shaken, that there's no more room for, that it overflows, that rivers of living water come gushing out of you. This is what God wants to do for you. And he's saying, that's who I am. I am the God of breakthrough. I'm a supernatural God, but there's things that I'm giving you in my word. You've got to pray and obey. I can't help but think of that hymn, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. You know, there's another verse that comes to my mind that I got to hit. We say that he's the God of breakthrough, opening things up. He opens doors that no man can open. He shuts doors that no man can shut. It says that in Revelation. Got it somewhere in here. Revelation 3, 7 through 8 says, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. See, I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. See, I have set before you an open door. No one can shut it. The enemy can't hold back what God wants to do in your life. He has set before you an open door. He set before us an open heaven. He wants to pour out blessings on us. He wants to pour out provision, direction, all these good things. No one can shut it except for us in our own lives. We're the ones that bear the responsibility for closing those doors. If you would seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then I will heal. There's these things, there's this if, then and if. If you will pray and obey, I'll rend the heavens, I'll come down. I've already opened up the heavens. Jesus already did it. He already broke through the barrier. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. That's who he is. But do you know that intimately, experientially? Do you know Emmanuel, God with you? And so as we close the service this morning, we're going to spend, as we always do, one last worship song, and I want you to be dismissed after that last worship song. But what is the Lord saying to you this morning? Maybe specifically this morning that you need prayer for, maybe this week that you're supposed to be contending for. Maybe you don't know. Maybe at this point, even in this sermon, you still don't even know that thing you're supposed to be praying for and being obedient about. Would you seek him this week? God, I want you to be the God of breakthrough in my life. Would you show me an area? Show me the area of breakthrough that you want to bring. Maybe that's the prayer. Not the breakthrough you want. God, where do you want to bring breakthrough in my life? Before we close the chapter of 2017, what is it that you want to bring breakthrough in my life? Because I want your will. I want you to be able to bring breakthrough. I want to submit myself to your kingship. And as I said, I think that's something for all of us, but I feel like God's put his finger on just some of you in this room, that today is supposed to be a day of breakthrough. It's not supposed to be just a teaching, but God has put his finger on something, and you're supposed to respond. And yes, you can pray on your own, that's good to do that, but maybe you're supposed to respond by coming up and getting prayer with some leadership. So would you stand with me as we close the service and have my leadership come on forward? I'm going to say a prayer. When I say amen, if you need prayer...